I'm here with Tina Keane in her studio to discuss her work La Jardin, recently exhibited at Sketch in London. Tina, I'd like to begin by talking about that piece, the space that it was installed in, and the way that it relates to your practice as a video and performance artist and film artist as well.
Well, that piece was a commission from Sketch. It was really good to be able to do a completely new work, and it does move away from some of my practice. I've never really used flowers before, or gardens, or nature. A lot of my art is really around the urban landscape. But that actually came about by actually going to Monet's garden, and I just took my digital camera. And I wasn't thinking of filming and gardens at all, but I was, in a way, testing my camera. Because I wasn't making a film, there was a certain type of freedom that you had. And when we got back and I looked at it, and I thought, God, I really love some of this footage. So when it came up maybe for me to do something at Sketch, I thought, oh, maybe I'll do flowers. It seemed rather strange for me to do. But then I thought, the whole idea about gardens, and then I decided that I remembered the Golden Palace in Japan, in Kyoto. And I always remember the gardens there and how different they were from Monet's gardens. And I thought, oh, it'd be interesting to actually take the idea of gardens, the cultural side of it, you know, how different they are in relationship to the West and the East, and how do they come together, how Monet was so influenced by the Japanese gardens. So I went to Japan, and I had a solo show in Tokyo, and then I managed to go and film in Kyoto. And then in London, I decided I was filming in Holland Park, which was one of my favourite gardens, and I'm a Londoner, and I knew that from a child. And, of course, I went to the Rose Garden, and that's so English, in a way. But then also I had some footage that I'd been in upstate New York and filmed in their sort of backyard, in a way, which is incredibly wild. I wanted to go to Peter Sackville West's garden, but I didn't have time to do that. Anyway, I've collected material of the more ornate gardens and the special sort of public gardens. So I thought, well, putting those together, because then you could actually see the difference in types of gardens. Then I really wanted a flower in slow motion, like opening and closing and dying. So then I got some footage from the Oxford Scientific place. That was really amazing to get their footage and use that in combination. All my footage is handheld as well, because I wanted it to be very, in a way, so when you're looking at the work itself, you are involved, you know what I mean? It's not a film camera fixed, it's not a documentary. So you're certainly involved with a handheld camera, a small camera, and that uses Super 8 as well, and a little 3-chip digital camera. So that's all very, very important in the way that it's shot, because when it becomes the editing of the piece itself, then you've got 12 screens.
What I found interesting about that was both, as you mentioned, the handheld element. You get a feeling of your own physical presence within the space, which of course is part of the piece, but also when you sat down, that thing of swivelling round, or you watched one set of screens, then you'd move, watch another one. It is an interesting space itself, because it's rather a surreal space, Sketch. When you first went and worked in that space, were there any things about the installation? Were there problematics to do with that?
It was such a good space to do video installations, because they're very good projectors, good technicians, and it's all worked on the computer, so it's all synchronised incredibly well. So in that way, it's the ideal place to do something. And it is an odd space, but it's wonderful. But I think the piece is odd enough in its own self, in a way, because it is quite surreal, that piece.
Can I just ask you about the 4-minute duration? Why that length of time?
I've actually found that with installations, that people will watch up to 4 minutes and then re-look. After that, they usually get bored and walk away, because you're in a gallery, you're not in a cinema, and so it's a different way of actually taking up time. It's like making a pattern. The whole thing is edited really like a sound piece. It's not edited in the way, as one would say, a narrative. And it was quite difficult towards the end of trying to keep 12 screens in your head.
Now, I wanted to particularly talk about time-based media. Your work does challenge curatorial practice, and I think you were looking at that from the beginning, really, because you made works that were, you know, quite controversial to install in terms of a difficulty of space and installation and technology.
Yeah, I think some of the early works in the 70s of my daughter came together because I think it was the hopscotch we were doing, and she said she could do it better than me, and I think she was only about five. So I said, well, why don't you do the hopscotch? Also, there was very little money. So you could use chalk, draw it on the floor, get mirrors, you know, mirror tiles, write the poem on that. She'd do the hopscotch, and I'd read the poem. And when I read one line of the poem, I put the mirror down so that she had to stop. So in the end, by the time I'd finished the poem, she couldn't hopscotch anymore. She was completely restricted.
And the poem was a rather lovely little poem.
Yes, the poem was, "The shadow of my daughter becomes the shadow of life, as I will become the shadow of hers, as my mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother. From child to adult, from hopscotch to maze, from girl to woman, from tale to the labyrinths of time." So there, what I was thinking about in a way was that here we are, but actually it goes back a very, very long way. But also the whole idea of 70s and feminism, that also there was a certain sense of freedom. So in a way, what I also didn't want my daughter to be trapped, and that she was free to go the way that she wanted to. She didn't have to follow in the path of my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, as I didn't have to. So the whole thing represented that restriction, that when she got to the end, she couldn't hopscotch. That's the wall we've got to break down. That's what we've got to go through. So it's all done, as I say, incredibly sort of simple way, and at absolutely no cost whatsoever. I was very interested in games, but I think it was because of my daughter's age. I think that was how I made the piece for Audio Arts, where she was singing My Girl's a Corker, and then we broke it down, Demolition Stroke Escape, and she sings that, and then we break it down and slow down the voice and so forth, you know. It was always deconstructing actually these myths. It was always breaking through, but using games and using humour in a way to do that. So that's how a lot of that earlier work came. And the swing was at the Serpentine.
And when was this?
1978. And living in Notting Hill, walking through the park to the Serpentine, which I did quite often, I decided to do swings. Because I loved swings as a child. Because I used to daydream, sit on the swing, and absolutely daydream all the time, you know. So I thought it'd be great to have a swing, bring the children's swings into the gallery. Then what I did was to put a small camera onto the middle swing, and that picked up the shadow of the person sitting onto the screen, and people could come in and swing. I think the art world hadn't quite seen anything quite like that, actually. And so then you had the, like, indoors-outdoors. Again, you see, I was doing indoor-outdoor. I didn't realise how often... It was extraordinary how a sort of conceptual piece of work then became so... part of the community in a way.
Joyous as well.
Joyous, yes,
swinging
it was
so
fun.
Joyous.
Yes, it is. It was fun. I used to go and swing on it too.